The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Even if you've never been to the city of Rome, you've probably heard of the Christian catacombs, those burial places outside the city walls. At the time of the first few centuries of the church, Roman law forbid any burial places within the city limits, and it wasn't unprecedented for the burial places to be completely underground in a maze of hallways. It was possible because it was volcanic rock that is relatively soft until it's exposed and then it subsequently becomes hardened. But the primary reason why the Christians gravitated towards this means of burial is because at frequent times, depending on the Roman emperor, Christianity was illegal, to pray publicly was illegal, and of course to worship was illegal. And so they did so under the relative safety of the underground tunnels. It might surprise you that there is an estimated 60 different sets of catacombs all scattered throughout the outside of Rome. I mentioned this morning because there is Christian artwork all over those walls. Some of the earliest depictions of things like Old Testament prophets, of loaves and fishes, and also the three earliest images or paintings of Jesus himself. One in the catacombs of Priscilla, one in the catacombs of St. Calixtus, and one in the catacombs of Domitilla. In all three cases, there are depictions of Jesus as a shepherd. This tells us that even in the early church, the idea of Christ as shepherd was crucial to their understanding of who he was and what his mission was. It's interesting because in, I think, all three, there is a lamb around his shoulders. And of course, this makes sense to think about Jesus as shepherd because he even describes himself in such terms. Each year, on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we read a gospel passage from John chapter 10, in which we hear, "I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep." Christ fulfills so many Old Testament images, and shepherd is one of them. After all, in the book of Genesis, Abel is a shepherd, so is Abraham, and Jacob, and even the prophet Amos. And of course, we heard in the famous Psalm, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want." But we must be aware that in many cases when we read Scripture, we have a slight tendency to gloss over maybe the more challenging or uncomfortable aspects of various images. This is evident around Christmas time when we have our nativity sets and they don't depict the real harsh reality of a smelly stable. in not pristine conditions. And even at home, when we have crucifixes on our wall, which do not really depict the blood, agony, and suffering that our Lord endured. And so it is with the image of the shepherd. We tend to just think of it in pristine terms. He's out hanging out in a 75-degree lush pasture, just kind of, I don't know, coddling the sheep and spending time with them. But the reality of the role of shepherd is a bit more gritty. The idea that there are adverse conditions, all sorts of weather, all sorts of illness that can afflict the sheep, and there's all types of danger, whether it's thieves or other animals to attack the sheep. And of course, the sheep themselves can act in rebellion or frustrate the shepherd. I also want to point out that, you know, in the Psalm 23, we forget that the shepherd, the good shepherd, is holding a rod and a staff. The reality is the rod and staff are, yes, defense mechanisms so that we might defend against the attacks of the sheep, but also to sometimes knock some sense into the sheep that go astray, or even hook and crook them back to where they belong. That's the beauty and the glory of the good shepherd. Not that he's a beautiful piece of art on a catacomb wall, but the fact that he's willing to undergo self-sacrifice for his sheep. The challenge is precisely the beauty and the glory of the good shepherd. It's the opportunity for self-gift of why we are drawn to Christ as the shepherd. That's the reality. I think of this not only because this is our gospel for today, Good Shepherd Sunday, not only because the church asks us to pray for vocations to the priesthood, for those who act in the person of Christ, the Good Shepherd, in our communities as priests, but also because we celebrate in the United States Mother's Day. What a gift moms are to us. And some moms here today would say it's nearly impossible to romanticize this vocation because it is challenging and we know it. The difficulty is the beauty. The self-sacrifice entailed in motherhood is why we're so drawn to it. And I don't want to gloss over the uncomfortable of today because for many of us, today is a beautiful day. Some of us feel uncomfortable because some of us had great moms, but some of us had not so great moms. Some of us have moms with us, and some of us have moms that have gone before us. Some moms have lost children. Some women here whose desire for motherhood has not yet been realized. That's the gritty reality of today for many of us, and we pray for all mothers, all those hopeful mothers, all the good moms and those who find it extremely challenging to be a mom. I love my mother. I prayed for her and even texted her today to thank her for all she's done for me. In some ways, she resembled the Good Shepherd by how much she sacrificed, and yes, how many times she had to knock some sense into me. I'll leave her to tell those stories on another day. But on Mother's Day, we have an opportunity to reflect on the task and vocation of parenthood in general, specifically moms. Every parent wants their children to thrive. Every parent wants their children to be happy. But most especially, every parent ultimately wants their children to be a faithful member of the flock of Christ in his church, to stay near the Good Shepherd. So all parents must be their own good shepherds. And I want to give particular aspects of good shepherding as parents, even though, yes, I know I'm a celibate and not a physical, biological father myself. I want to reference two sources. One is a secular source, and one is sort of a religious source. The first is the author and speaker, Angela Duckworth. She got famous because of her TED Talk and later a book she wrote in 2016. She studied success among children and adults. She went to West Point to study cadets and predicting who would stick it out and who would drop out. She went to National Spelling Bees to determine who would advance the furthest. And she even went to private businesses to determine which salesmen would thrive, keep their job, and even earn the most money. And the most consistent variable and quality among those who were successful was what she called grit. This idea of persevering, sustained perseverance in the face of real challenge and adversity. These young people and even adults had faced it in their lifetime, had learned to face it head on and not gloss over the challenges. So when we think about parenthood, and if we truly love our children, love in allowing for difficulty and challenge instead of glossing it over for our children is actually essential. Yes, a lot of homework sometimes has to do with grit and challenge. Getting through a bunch of sports practices and competitions and games has a role in teaching us the value of perseverance. But ultimately, it's our entire lives and how we face challenges. Are they to be avoided and glossed over? Or are they seen as an opportunity for self-gift in our vocation, young and old? Our Lord permits suffering as a good shepherd because he knows we will grow and flourish because of it. Ultimately, to live the faith requires perseverance, grit, and challenge, even if we don't like to admit it. Let's go back to the catacombs. Remember, they're filled with martyrs. The idea here is it is challenging, and we do a disservice to our children when we avoid challenge. My other source for parenthood advice in the image of the Good Shepherd comes from the sociologist Christian Smith. He has examined and done study after study of parents who attempt to raise their children to be faithful, lifelong Christians, and in fact, religious in different religion spheres. He has a whole host of qualities that are consistent with those parents who are successful in raising their children. I'll reduce myself to just a couple. First of all, the most obvious, it's the parents who authentically live the faith, believe and practice it genuinely and faithfully. It's not just a compartmentalized part of their life, and it's not a performance, because children are not fooled by performance. Part of that is talking about the faith as a normal part of life, as a family, even throughout the week. But the other fascinating part of Christian Smith's study, which is beyond the obvious, is parenting style. He calls it authoritative parenting, which combines two crucial traits. First, consistently holding children to clear and demanding expectations, standards, and boundaries across all life. The second is relating to the children in an abundance of warmth, support, and expressive care. It's obvious that when one or the other is not present, it is damaging to the formation of the child. If there is no authoritative dimension to the parenting and without clear and demanding expectations, we'll have a warped view of what religion is and the demands it has and the challenges it has. And of course, if there is no warmth, there will be a distance even from God himself. They don't perceive the warmth and love of God himself. This makes sense, the study of Christian Smith, because in the end, that's how the Good Shepherd operates, with authority, which also the staff symbolizes, with the authority of discipline, but also protection. But he also reaches us with warmth, with affection, and hence the artwork with the sheep around his shoulders. The Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, is the model of all shepherds, including parents. And of course, the model of our motherhood is Mary, the perfect mother. Today on Good Shepherd Sunday, we, yes, thank the Lord for the gift of motherhood and our own mothers. But we also thank him for his protective and authoritative shepherding of us. May we remain faithful sheep of his flock. May we not wander from him. May we trust him, because the Good Shepherd, just like all moms and dads, desire one thing for their flock, that they might gaze and graze in the eternal pastures of heaven.